And thank you all who came out last week and continue to come on Sunday mornings as we'll be preaching on that chapter. We're going to try to do a couple chapters here in a few weeks. We'll try to cover as much as I can in those chapters. But today we're talking about God being a very personal God. Now remember last week we talked about how God is the one true God and that He's everywhere. He knows everything that we do. He knows every word that we speak, and He knows our attitudes, and He knows what's going on in our lives. And sometimes people think if a God is that big and that God knows everything, then how would He really know me personally? I mean, it seems like it's so overwhelming to think that God would know us personally, even though He knows everything. And that's one of those big questions. And so, in order for us to kind of understand that God is a very personal God and cares about each of us intimately, even though He cares about everything else as well, there's a lot of scripture I could have picked, but I thought Psalms 23 is the best that would help us to kind of understand this. Psalms 23 is often read in somber moments, in somber times, but I still believe that Psalms 23 is the best way to describe who God is. And that's what David did when he wrote Psalms 23. He wrote it because David is describing God. He's describing who God is in a very personal way. Now, in Hebrew, the name Lord is Yahweh. And this is the same name that God used to reveal Himself to Moses in Exodus 3:14. And He said, I am who I am. Now, most Jewish people consider this name too holy to be even spoken by human lips. In fact, it was so revered that it was only pronounced once a year on the Day of Atonement, and it was only mentioned by the high priest, and it was only spoken in the most holy place of the temple. If the name needed to be written down, the scribes would, get this, take a bath before writing it, and then they would destroy the pen afterwards. It was so important. But God is an all-powerful, never-changing, all-knowing God. And it's hard for us to kind of figure out that all-being is very personal with us. In Psalms 8, we read, O Lord Yahweh, our Lord, He is a creator, He is present, He is powerful, and yet He is very personal. He is I should go back for a moment because I forgot to give you the second one there. Jesus also revealed Himself. He revealed Himself to the Jewish people in John chapter 8, verse 58, when He said, before Abraham was, I am. He was there at the very beginning. He was present. He is a consuming fire, and yet He is a personal shepherd. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms, and He carries them close to His heart, and He gently leads those who have young. God provides us with everything that we need. And yet, it seems like we are living in a time when we're just not content with what we have. And the interesting thing is that the Scripture goes on to say in verse 1, I shall not be in want. And if Jesus is your shepherd, Everything else should be secondary. Since God is our shepherd, he gives us everything that we need. So if we are truly in this relationship with God, then we are living in our lives is a matter of contentment. We're happy. There's no reason for us to not be happy because God is giving us what we need. But it seems to me that we are living in a time when it's not normal for someone to say, I'm content. I'm happy. I have everything I need. Max Lucado refers this to a prison of want, someone being in a prison of want. And as a prisoner, sometimes we want things that are bigger and nicer and faster and thinner. And our happiness isn't complete because we need to experience all these things. It's about how much we deposit in the bank or what we drive or how much what we drink or what we digest or the kind of things that we want in life personally. That becomes our prison. Maybe we're hoping that a change of circumstances will somehow change our attitude and make us happy. And that's not the case because we are living in a life of discontentment. If we allow the powerful simplicity of verse 1 to dwell in you, then this is what you're going to learn. What you have in our shepherd is greater than what we don't have in life. The scripture goes on to say that God nourishes us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. It's an interesting fact about shepherds, what they would do with their sheep, because sheep, you know, they're just, all they do is stand around and graze. That's kind of what they do. And so to force the sheep to lie down, the shepherds would have to fold their legs a certain way, which would paralyze the sheep. And so they were laying on the grass and they were forced to lie down. That's what the shepherd would do. How many of us are living in a life right now where we need to stop for a moment and lie down and just relax? That's what God does. He forces us to take a moment and just relax. While the shepherd would force his sheep to rest sometimes, the best way to get his flock to chill out was to make sure there were four conditions were met. First, fear. Sheep are strange animals. They're not exactly the smartest animal in the bunch, okay? But they are very nervous and fearful of anything. But when they know when the shepherd is with them, they can relax because they can look over there and say, oh, everything's okay. The scripture in Isaiah says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Another thing is friction. There's friction in the flock. You know, sheep don't get along with each other. You know, it happens. Sometimes you have two male sheep that are fighting over a female. They're always on high alert. They're always wondering what's going on around them. But the shepherd tries to minimize that tension and those distractions. Maybe it's frustration, you know, they get flies and gnats in their faces or parasites can distract them and make them even more nervous. It keeps them from lying down. But the shepherd keeps his eye on those things to make sure that the sheep are not being pestered. And he protects them from that. Maybe it's famine. A hungry sheep is forever on its feet, foraging for food. But the shepherd makes sure that there is green pasture where they can feed among the rich, sweet grass. Some of us need to slow down enough to be able to chew on the grass and the green pastures of God's word. But we're filled with fear, and where there's friction, even in churches, There's fear that things are not going well, and we're not sure what's going to happen. Oftentimes we become off-centered in our lives because we're dealing with all that frustration and the friction and the fears and everything. But even in that, what God does is He forces us to lie down in the meadow of the Master. So if you are filled with anxiety today and fear and worry, and maybe there's friction in your life, you can call upon God today because He is a personal God. I want to get back to the sheep for a moment. After the sheep are fed, the sheep were led to still water. Now, the interesting thing about sheep is they are afraid of water, especially running water. They're not intelligent animals. And so when they would go to running water, they would back away because they were afraid they might fall in and drown. And so they would stay away from running water, but they were okay around still water. And the interesting thing about sheep too is that if the shepherd was to dig a hole and make a little bit of a puddle for the sheep to drink, even if that water was nasty, they would still drink it over going to the running water. But the shepherd here says that he leads us to those still waters. He leads us to that place where we're not afraid. We are a lot like the sheep. We often go to places we shouldn't go. We often do things that we know are going to harm us, but we do it anyway. We are restless. We can't settle down. We can't take time to just calm ourselves. God's provisions can take care of that. Because sheep are careless and sheep are curious and skittish, they often need to be restored. And that's where another part of the scripture comes into play. David wrote, "He restores my soul." And the word restore here means to bring back to a former or normal state, to make new. Now, sheep can get lost very quickly. It's a very serious thing because they could fall and they can get hurt, or they can get eaten, attacked, and killed by predators. And another interesting thing, some they say that sheep just kind of tip over. When you say tip over, what they do is they roll over on their backs and they just kind of kick their legs in the air. Very strange animals. And so what the shepherd will do is he'll take and he'll ease them over and help them to become less disoriented so that he can take them back to the flock. What a great picture of God, what He does for us. Because a lot of us are like sheep. We're wandering around and we're making the same mistakes all the time, and we're getting ourselves in trouble. And some of us this morning may think, God, what can God do for me? I've messed up so many times, and I think God is probably tired of me messing up. He doesn't want me to, you know, He can't help me now because He's probably just disgusted with me because I keep messing up. But one great thing about a personal God is that He is the God of second and third chances and even beyond that. And I'm so grateful that Christianity is a series of new beginnings. So if you are being cast down today, if you are straying from the flock, and allow the shepherd to restore your soul, to come to you today and pick you up. God's provisions guides us. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Paths here refers to a well-defined or well-worn path, a place where God is there with us. But it also is true, just like with sheep, that sometimes we go down a path and we find a fork in the road, or we figure there's maybe two different places, and we know the place we should go, but the other path seems easier. There's not as many obstacles along the way. But God wants us to go down the righteous path, the path that leads to Him, the path that He has prepared for us. Because if we continue to go down the wrong path, we're going to continue to make the same mistakes. We're going to continue to harm ourselves and possibly others around us. God takes care of us. He takes care of us even when we mess up, through the best of times and through the most difficult of times from all the seasons of life. David goes on to speak directly to the shepherd. He says, "You are with me, your rod and your staff, you prepare, you anoint." This is when God became real to David. Have you experienced that? Where God felt undeniably real to you. In those moments when you needed him the most. We see that God's protection covers every aspect of life, from green pastures to the shadow of death, because God is a protector and he's personally involved and invested in your life. There's no need to even fear death. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The picture here is the shepherd finding the sheep and bringing him back home in the evening. And there's an interesting idea in this that as many times as I've read this piece of scripture, it never hit me as it did this week. It says, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You walk through it. You don't stop. It's a continuing thing. You are going through it, but you're going through it with God. And you're not stopping. You just keep going. And the word shadow, you know, it can be an ominous thing, but it can also mean this. The shadow of a dog cannot bite you. The shadow of death cannot harm us as long as we stay close to the shepherd. Because where there is a shadow, there is also what? A light. That's a personal God. And David continues, he says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That again is a great statement. A statement of trust and belief and a statement of confidence. And the shepherds would use their staff. As we all know, it's a stick with a curve at the top. And it was used for many different things. It was used to beat off predators. It was used to grab a hold of the sheep's legs and pull them back to keep them out of the way. Used as a walking stick. It was used for many different reasons, even used to discipline the sheep. In the same way, we must lean on the Lord for those things that we need. We need to lean on the power of his comfort. And the word comfort comes from the Latin, strength through companionship. We can be strong in the face of death because we have a companion who has victory over the grave. Isn't that a great thing? That we serve a God that loves us so much that no matter what we've done in life, he's going to love us. He's going to love us in a very personal way. There's no need to fear enemies. David wrote, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." Using a common expression to describe what a shepherd does to prepare the pasture. What the shepherd would do is it would go out and find this green pasture, and he would inspect it to make sure there weren't any predators around or poisonous plants or snakes. And once safe, he could bring the sheep in there, and they're safe. They can eat the grass, and they have no enemies nearby. The shepherd would anoint their heads. The scripture goes on to say, "You anoint my head with oil." Now, there are many different reasons why the shepherd would use oil. It was used to prevent insects. It was a repellent for insects. It would prevent conflict because he would, when the two males were going at each other to try to find their ewe, he would put the oil on their heads so that they would not damage their heads. They would use them for injuries, to prevent injuries. They would use it if a sheep got cut through all of the thorns and stuff in the ground. They would put the oil on it to take care of the cuts and abrasions on the sheep, and probably even on them themselves. It's a powerful picture of how God protects us from those things that can wipe us out and distract us, to bring harmony into our life. He comforts us, He heals us, and He helps us so that we are not beat up by the things that go on in our life. He seeks to protect us because He loves us so much. And as we move toward the end of the psalm, we see that God gives us more than we need, because David writes, "My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy or love will follow me all the days of my life." Now the picture here has probably two meanings. The shepherd would carry something to drink, and he would even share it with his sheep when they need it. He was very generous because he knew that he had to have liquid in his body, but he also knew that his sheep would perish if they didn't. And the other meaning of this is that of a dinner host who would serve a drink in cups. And if he wanted you to stay and continue with the meal, he would keep pouring the cup even when it was overflowing. That was a sign that you could stay. You can continue to be a part of the festivities. But if your cup was empty and he didn't come by to fill it, that was the sign it was time to go. But in this story here, we're talking about how God fills our cup to overflowing. God's goodness and love, they follow us. The word follow literally means pursue. It's a picture of God pursuing us because He wants to have that personal relationship with us. He's pursuing us right now. He's pursuing each and every one of us because He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants you to feel these things that were outlined in Psalms 23, to know that you are protected. And God is preparing us for everything we'll need later as well. Now, we have everything we need right now by the grace of God. And we have everything we are going to need for eternity. So look at the last phrase in Psalms 23. And it says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now Psalms 23 begins and ends with hope. It begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, my protector, my healer. The Lord is the one who is going to lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, so that I will fear no evil. His rod and staff will protect us from those things that are coming after us in life." And He's preparing a place for us. And it closes with, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the sheep have been following the shepherd to green pastures and through shadowy valleys. The seasons have changed, and now they're coming home. The flock is satisfied. All is perfect. And one day, we believe, we will dwell in the house of the Lord, not for a bit, not just for a temporary visit, but forever. It's not going to be a thing where we are going to put in a pin and then let out, put in a pin, let out. We are going to be with God forever. That's His desire for us. That's what He wants us to be able to do. So if you are living a life today that is not a life that is encouraging? If you are living a life today where you're frustrated and you're feeling like it's just not working, maybe you feel the guilt of past mistakes, or maybe you feel like, how could God have a personal relationship with me? I'm so messed up. Well, I don't think there's anyone here today that's not messed up in some way. Every one of us here have made mistakes, some serious, some not so serious. Every one of us here have had to deal with loss, have had to deal with pain, have had to deal with frustration and discomfort. We've all had to deal with trust issues. But the great thing about it is God walks with us because He has and wants a personal relationship with you. And it's not too overwhelming to think about it, because He sent His own Son to die on the cross for us. And that's love. And that's unbelievable love. And so, I hope that all of us, as we live forever in the presence of God, that we will finally realize the fullness of God's grace, His mercy, His love, His strength, His power, and that personal connection we have with Him will lead us through everything that we do in life until we can stand before Him. And He smiles and says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning and I just pray that we can all desire that personal relationship with You, because You want a personal relationship with us. And we can probably stand here all day and come up with excuses and talk about why we don't want to do that, because we feel so guilty about our lives and where we are today and what we've done and where we've been and the kind of person we've become. And maybe we're dealing with those addictions of life that just keep us from accepting You because we don't feel worthy. Lord, I pray today that each and every person here today senses that they're worthy of having a personal relationship with You, and that personal relationship is going to change your life and will take away the guilt and the pain and the lack of trust, and that it will come upon you so powerfully that you cannot help but call out to Him and thank Him. I pray, Lord, for each one here today, that we can just call upon You as our personal Savior, as our Lord, as our God. And I pray this in Your name. Amen.